This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Many bettors find value outside of the side or the total on Follow the Money with Mitch and Pauly. Doug, the prop guy from PickWise.com, discusses the process of betting NBA player props.
My process is fluid, you know, as books get sharper and sharper to these lines, but it's really like what I'm doing is really taking more of a deep dive into all the advanced stats that I could get my hands on. Obviously, I look at the raw numbers of how a player's doing lately, how a player's done over the course of the season, how the player's done against the opponent. But I'm also looking really at how the player is producing, like how he's getting his production, what plays the team is running, you know, to get a player points, or how a player's getting his rebounds or his assists. And then just as much as I look at the player, I'm really looking at the matchup. The way I look at these player props, it's not really a player prop. It's more of a situation. You know, as much as I would love to hammer a guy like Joel Embiid's points prop every game because he's scoring up towards 30 points a game, you know, it's also just as much about how the defense is going to play him. So I'm looking at the matchup as well, seeing how they defend similar guys, how they've defended this player in the past. And yeah, I'm running some low-level projections. I'm not modeling per se, but I am running some low-level projections on how I think the game will go and, you know, what that player will wind up producing.
Doug, the prop guy from PickWise.com, on his process for selecting NBA player props on Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paul Howard, weekdays 7 to 10 a.m. on VSiN. It's the NBA All-Star Weekend. The Utah Jazz are off to a terrific start this season. Tim Doyle of CBS Sports told Mike Palm and Amal Shah on the Nuts that he thinks the Jazz are for real.
I'm holding a Jazz NBA championship ticket, and I feel really good about it because I got locked in at 35-1. And I still think they're being disrespected, boys. Obviously, the Lakers are your favorites. Clippers are still getting some love. Nets are getting some love. Bucks. I mean, all these teams are in front of the Jazz. Guys, what do they need to do to start getting that respect? You see the odds right there? The Lakers and LeBron James are your favorite. The Nets, I believe, are the clear-cut best team in the Eastern Conference. The rest of the Eastern Conference, I think, is a massive, massive question mark. But I still think the Jazz have value at 9-1.
Tim, let me answer your question. They'd have to move the team from Salt Lake City.
Is that what it is? Yeah, is that what it is? I just saw that they're doing a Housewives now from Utah. And my first thought was, how boring would that be? But I've heard, like, the Housewives in Utah, they get down. So that's why they gave them a TV show.
It's all one house.
Tim Doyle of CBS Sports on the Nuts with Mike Palm and Amal Shah, heard weekdays 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern on VSiN. The Lakers are plus 280 to win the NBA title. Brooklyn Nets are 3-1. Clippers 5-1. Milwaukee is plus 750. And Utah is at 8-1. The Arizona Cardinals signed J.J. Watt to a two-year, $31 million deal. VSiN host and former NFL executive Mike Lombardi.
Makes no sense. It's like, I'm going to win the press conference. Good. You won the press conference. You just gave J.J. Watt his golden parachute. Is it a smart football move? I don't think it is. I really don't.
Arizona 40-1 to win Super Bowl 56. It's March, and that means it's time for the madness. Our VSiN experts are watching the bubble teams, conference tournaments, and looking for the future Cinderellas to give you the betting edge heading into the tournament. Now is the time to start your free VSiN trial to get members-only daily email updates, our upcoming bracket betting guide, and 24/7 coverage. Get ready for betting the madness. Sign up for your free trial of VSiN today at VSiN.com/subscribe. With your VSiN Action Update, I'm Tony DeZiri.
Get the latest VSiN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
Before you place your next bet, visit VSiN.com for all the latest data and powerful betting tools. Start with our live odds, team comparisons, and previews for every game on the schedule. Then dive deeper with live tracking of betting trends and line movements. And don't miss our unique tools, including odds comparisons from sportsbooks across the country, prop bet search engine, and custom parlay calculator. Everything you need to increase your betting knowledge and confidence is at your fingertips. Visit VSiN.com today.
Our VSiN experts live and breathe sports betting, and we've assembled the best team here in Las Vegas and from sportsbooks across the country to help you learn how to become a better handicapper. We go beyond picks and predictions to discuss the numbers and analysis that matter to sports bettors. We are always on for you with TV, radio, and digital coverage. Get everything we have to offer, including our upcoming bracket betting guides for under $50 from now through the College Hoops Finals. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to sign up for this special offer today.
Welcome to the pregame show. I'm your host, Amal Shaw, alongside Wes Reynolds. A terrific weekend as we get towards the championship weekends, the big conferences next weekend, Wes. But we're starting out with some great matchups today. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're starting to get some of the smaller conferences, the middle majors, getting going this weekend. And, of course, a lot of Power 5, Power 6 action to start the day.
Anything you're looking at early on as these games get underway right now? Kentucky leading 12-8 against South Carolina, 16.5 to go in the first.
I do have Notre Dame first half in game, +4, +7. They're taking on Florida State, and Florida State win here, going to clinch that number one seed in the ACC. So, you know, pressure on Florida State. Pressure's not on Notre Dame right now at a couple games under 500. So, so far 8-3 early on here, but we know what the Irish like to do. They're going to take a bunch of threes in this game. That's their best method of offense. So, so far early on, up on the Seminoles.
Yeah, this is a team that really went into, I mean, they've struggled all year long, but went into a tailspin after blowing that big lead against Syracuse. I think it might have been last week or 2 weeks ago, then got housed by North Carolina State at home. We'll see if they can bounce back against this Florida State team. What'd you get, 6.5 or 7 in this
one? I took 7, and then +4 for the first half.
Pretty good number in that one. We'll pay attention to that one. Right now, Irish out in front, 8-3, 3 minutes into that game in the first half. Also underway at Little John, it's Clemson leading Pittsburgh right now 3-0. Remember, Pitt without two of its best players, they enter the transfer portal. I'll tell you what, it seems like there's a mutiny there. Mm-hmm. If Champagne enters the portal, I think we can worry about Jeff Capel being out the door, or excuse me, Jeff Capel. Now I was going to say Jason.
Is. Yeah. Yep. And look, that's been rumored, actually. That's kind of been in the rumor mill that maybe Pittsburgh going to make a change. Of course, Jeff Capel kind of at least give it some stability once Kevin Stallings was shown the door a couple years ago. Look, Pitt has been relatively competitive since then. They did play a close loss to NC State last Sunday. This is after the two transfers and then got the win over Wake Forest. Clemson looks like they're probably on the right side of the bubble here, but certainly don't want to trip up.
Yeah, quick start by UConn so far. They lead Georgetown 12-2, just 3.5 minutes into that game. Minnesota Rutgers getting ready to get underway. We'll keep you posted on that one. This Minnesota team has been in a tailspin, have been tremendously effective at the barn, but I don't know if they're going to be able to do it when you look at the injuries that they've had throughout the season. Liam Robbins, game time decision in this one. Gabe Kauscher out. This is a big blow. This team really too much relying on Marcus Carr right now, Wes. I just couldn't touch this game. Normally, this would be an easy play on the Gophers, even if they were laying 2 or 3, if they were healthy, and if they had been at least playing competitive basketball.
Yeah, it's tough to back Minnesota here without Robbins and without Kalsher, and the fact that, you know, they're really ending the season very poorly. But it is a little surprising to see Rutgers lay 3.5 in the barn, where Minnesota, by and large, throughout the season has been so good. But Rutgers, one of those teams that might be kind of right on the bubble, maybe on the right side of it, but this would not be a good loss for them, as Minnesota has pretty much, I think, from this standpoint, played their way out of the tournament.
I would agree with you. Wes, let's get into some of the marquee matchups starting today. Let's start with the game starting at 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock Pacific time. I know our producer JJ is going to kill me because I'm skipping the order in which he put it down on the roster, but I think this is a better game. The one thing I want people to know, in case they're unaware, Cade Cunningham is not going to go for Oklahoma State, and you can see that with the number jumping from 7 to 10 here.
Yeah, and I think Isaac Likely is still out as well with the hand injury. I did get fortunate. I had Oklahoma State the other night against Baylor. They somehow hung within the number against the Bears, but losing Cunningham there at the end, I couldn't get involved here. West Virginia ended up not covering against TCU the other night because of, and I think that was kind of that letdown spot after the Baylor game, after you got beaten overtime in such a competitive game. But line's already moved. I'm going to stay out of this one without Cunningham. But Oklahoma State looks like they're in very good shape unless the NCAA somehow decides, okay, now we're going to rule on the appeal here for Oklahoma State in terms of the tournament ban. I don't see that happening. The Cowboys are going to be comfortably in the tournament.
Yeah, total of 147 here, and I agree with you. Cade Cunningham probably going to be the first pick in the draft. To me, him and Ayo Dosunmu have been the best closers in college basketball this year. You want to have a player like Cade Cunningham play in this tournament. I think Oklahoma State's got an opportunity to get to the Sweet 16, assuming they're healthy. This team has played really well down the stretch. Outside of Baylor, I can make the case they've been the second-best team. And, of course, West Virginia's played particularly well. Mm-hmm. Those two teams at the top have been tremendous. But Oklahoma State has been right there for the last 6-7 weeks, playing really good basketball. Let's go to an intriguing matchup in the Big Ten today. Illinois on the road, taking on the Buckeyes. If Illinois wins this game, I think they lock up a one seed West. I think if Ohio State can win this game, they put themselves in great position to be on the two line.
Yeah, I would agree. And I actually do like the Buckeyes here in this spot. Illinois comes off that massive win in Michigan where, I mean, they really took them to school. And I think it's not necessarily a surprise. I guess it's a surprise that Michigan gets beat, but it's not it's more of a surprise in terms of how it happened. Michigan did rebound, though, well against Michigan State. But Ohio State, look, it looked like they were going to get that one seed a couple weeks ago. Now they've lost three straight. But I do like them in the small spot here. Maybe small money line favorite here, $1.35 over Illinois. I think this is where Chris Holtmann and his guys rebound.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there. I know a game you're going to be eyeing today. IU on the road at Mackey taking on Purdue. Purdue, no surprise here, a 7-point favorite. I expect Purdue to win this game. Wes, I'm not sure if they cover, but you know, outside of Minnesota and Rutgers, I don't know if another team is probably hit or miss more at, I mean, away from home as opposed to being at home. Stefanovic for Purdue is probably has the biggest split differential you see in the league in terms of how he performs. So I'm looking at Purdue in this game.
Yeah, and Indiana dealing with Armand Franklin being doubtful here with the foot injury. I don't expect him to come back until the Big Ten tournament in Indianapolis. Race Thompson, facial injury. He is questionable today. And look, we talked about Minnesota a little bit. Indiana has really played their way out of the tournament. Yeah. This is it. Now they are in the desperate situation where you have to pull the upset against your arch rival, who's beaten you like 9 times in a row, and then you probably have to win 2 games in the Big Ten tournament in Indy, I think, to really have a shot to gain a potential at-large. 7 looks about right. Lean to Indiana here in the spot, but this should be Purdue's game to win. Purdue has really owned Indiana ever since Archie Miller has stepped foot in Bloomington.
Speaking of Archie Miller, Sean Miller looks like he could potentially be out at Arizona based on the sanctions that they have there. You look at Archie Miller, he hasn't made the tournament since 2017. If they don't make it turn things around here, do you see the IU administration making a change?
It's going to be 50-50, and a lot of it is due to money, obviously, with the revenue with college athletic departments. It is, I believe, a $10 million buyout this year. Next year, it would go down to like 3.5. So if it's a money issue, then he's probably going to get one more year. But I just don't see the progress of all. And maybe he can coach somewhere else and be very good, but it's just not happening in Bloomington. And I don't know if necessarily when you're a Big Ten program, do you wait because there's a $6 million difference? I mean, maybe if you're a middle major or lower major, absolutely, when you're talking that kind of money. But I don't think you wait at Indiana. And I know it's not SEC football, but look at what South Carolina paid for Will Muschamp to go away. Look at what Auburn paid for Gus Malzahn to go away.
Well, I agree with you. And to your point, I think if you fall behind, it's an arms race. And at some point in time, you're not going to be able to necessarily catch up for a while. Mm-hmm. And you don't want that to happen. So, you know, it just takes one coaching change for the program to completely change in a positive direction or a negative direction. I think if you're Indiana, you've got to potentially look at making a change. This is still a program that should be winning at a high level. You can still get recruits from the Chicagoland area and throughout the Midwest and be competitive. Let's go to another game today. It's going to be on the road for Alabama. They take on Georgia. They're at Stegman. This should be an interesting matchup to me in terms of how this Georgia team can fare. They're getting 8 in this one, Wes. That's a pretty big number in this spot at home.
It is, and Alabama is going to be the number one seed in the SEC tournament. That has already clinched, but Georgia, one thing I will say, they've snuck up on some teams this year. Only 7-10 in conference play, but snuck up on LSU as a small home underdog a couple weeks ago. Beat Missouri in the same role. Beat Kentucky earlier in the year. So, you know, Tom Crean's guys, one of the things you know they can do is they can score. Yeah. They're 15th in the country in tempo, so pretty comfortable, I think, running with Alabama, although maybe that's not the best strategy if you look back on February 13th, 115-82, Alabama does win in Tuscaloosa. But I thought 8 was a little big here, and I leaned the Bulldogs.
I played this game over 157 on the overnight number last night. Wes, I couldn't believe this thing came in at less than 162. It's right now at 160.5. I still like this one. Look, both teams are very content to get up and go. Mm-hmm. Nate Oates' team, I know they're tremendous in terms of defensive efficiency if you go based on KenPom. But I think this is the type of game where if Alabama gets out by a big margin, it turns into open gym.
Yeah.
You could see a 90 spot, you know, 95 spot in the second half. You referenced that game in Alabama, in Tuskaloosa, and the final score, I think, what we wound up with 197 mm-hmm. points there, 115-82. So you could see something similar, in my opinion.
And Georgia,
this one.
Just in watching Tom Crean and his teams over the years, they love the transition three.
Yeah.
And they love to make that extra pass, especially in the corner. Tom Crean did that all the time at Indiana with a lot of success. So, it has moved 4 points, but I surely wouldn't necessarily fade the steam here on the under.
I want to go to a game that I have interest in today, Virginia taking on Louisville. Not normally the type of play I would make in terms of taking a road team in this spot against the Cardinals. I like Virginia here. This Louisville team's been a little bit inconsistent. They've been much more efficient at home, West, but I still am not a believer in Chris Mack's team. I know they've got those two wins against Duke, but when you look at the rest of the schedule, nothing really overwhelming or impressive for this team. I think this is one where Virginia on the road at the short number can find a way to get the W.
Well, and I haven't done anything with this game yet because now all of a sudden Louisville, they looked like they were getting right. They got that win at Duke, and then Malik Williams, who yep. they had gotten back for a couple games, now he's going to be, looks like he's going to be out with a foot injury. So when you finally get somebody in a key cog back, and then he gets hurt right away, you know, you wonder how that plays with the psyche of a team. So I haven't done anything here, but look, this is the time of year when Tony Bennett's club gets going. Florida State, look, they're trying to clinch that number one seed in the ACC, but really Virginia's right behind a couple of the games because Florida State had a couple COVID games. So Florida State's only 11-3 in the league. Virginia is 12-4. If Florida State loses here in South Bend, Virginia wins, Virginia's going to be the number one seed at 13-4. So a lot to play for the Cavaliers.
A great point you brought up, and let's get you an update from South Bend right now at the Joyce Center. It is Notre Dame all over Florida State, up by 2 touchdowns, 21-7. Brian Kelly's offense finally clicking for once. But, you know, you look at this right now, this team, Mike Bray and company, leading 21-9 as Florida State answers. I don't know, Wes, if you have an in-game number on this matchup right now. Total is 152.5. Game is right now on pace to go over that, as you've already got 30 points in the first 7-plus minutes here. But to me, this is one to keep an eye on because I think we'll see a push by Florida State. I just don't know if Notre Dame's going to continue at this pace in terms of shooting the basketball throughout the entirety of the game.
Yeah, Bray and his guys have gotten out to a very good start. And look, this is not an overwhelmingly talented team, but I think his guys have played hard. And there have been rumors about Mike Bray probably not being at Notre Dame. I don't know why. I think he's been the most successful coach you've had there since Digger Phelps.
You mean overrated Digger Phelps?
Yes. And I think Mike Bray has done a very good job at Notre Dame and has, you know, won a lot of games there, made some runs in the tournament. I don't know if you're going to do any better for Notre Dame basketball, so maybe hold off on that.
Digger Phelps is the Mike Ruzioni of, I couldn't pronounce the name,
Good analogy,
of college basketball, right? He beats UCLA in one game. And if you watch ESPN, you would have thought this guy won 7 straight national titles. Who's he, John Wooden? Come on, give me a break. You know, to me, when you look at this Notre Dame team, Mike Bray's always done a nice job of bringing in some decent pieces. He just hasn't been able to get 5 good players.
Right.
Like, they always have like 3 really good players. Mm-hmm. They just don't have that full complement mm-hmm. of 5. And I think that's been the issue there. But I'm with you. I think Bray's a good coach. Remember, Notre Dame, though, there's challenges academically to get players in there. They're a lot more stringent in terms of what their academic requirements are,
right.
So it's not as easy for a program
like
that.
The pool shrinks a little bit. And by the way, you mentioned that end game as Florida State now cuts it to 10. Notre Dame -1.5 at BetMGM, 156.5 your current total.
You know, this is interesting. I think Florida State's going to make a push. You know, it's a 10-point game. It looks on paper, the number sounds seems large, but you know, at some point in time, there's going to be a 6-0, 7-0 run that makes this game very close. So it'd be something to pay attention to. A game that I can't believe we're getting to this late normally on the final weekend of college basketball, North Carolina, Duke. Usually that would be the lead story, but Wes, when you look at this matchup, both teams fighting to get into the NCAA mm-hmm. tournament. Duke, the home favorite in this, North Carolina, the home favorite in this one against Duke. Remember, North Carolina won at Cameron earlier this year. Now Carolina, a 2.5-point favorite, total of 150.5.
You know, I would have said Carolina is safer, but the fact that they had that inexplicable loss in midweek against Marquette, a very late scheduled game, first time Steve Wojciechowski has ever won in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, as he did not do so as a player. But all of a sudden, North Carolina, a little bit bubblicious here, but I think Duke even more so. Duke losing that game to Georgia Tech the other night when it looked like Georgia Tech was going to try to blow that game. They've lost two straight in overtime, now 11-10. I think a little bit more on the line for the Blue Devils, and I actually like them getting 3 here in Chapel Hill.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I think North Carolina bounces back Duke bounces back. When you look at North Carolina, they're very inconsistent shooting the ball. We mm-hmm. saw them go up to the Carrier Dome and really struggle. I don't think the final score of that game against Syracuse was as close as the game itself. I thought Syracuse was the better team by a large margin in that one. So that's something to keep an eye out for. Any other games before we go to the break? I know we'll get back into some more college basketball in about 15 minutes, but any other games you're eyeing today?
Well, one other thing I do want to follow up on that Georgia Tech-Duke game, I forgot to make that point, in the open, is that Duke usually gets a very good whistle, and not just at home, but on the road. They're one of the few programs that do. They did not get a very good whistle in Georgia Tech. Matthew Hurt had a couple questionable calls, fouled him out early, and obviously Duke was a different team. I mean, he really is the guy that I think is the go-to guy for this team, so keep him out of foul trouble, and I do like the Blue Devils in the spot.
He really has been terrific in terms of shooting the basketball all season long. We'll get into some of these other matchups a little bit later on, including the A-10 semifinals. But remember, the final game will not be played until next weekend on the 14th in Dayton, so we'll get into that. Do you love in-game action? Then download the free Odds Trader app right now. Start winning with up-to-the-second information you need. When we come back, Chris Andrews, the head bookmaker here at the South Point, is going to join us. We'll find out where some of the money's coming in on UFC. That's all next. Ron Flatter Racing Pod is back at the track. This time it comes from Santa Anita, where one of three Kentucky Derby preps will run this weekend. Hall of Fame jockey Gary Stevens talks about life is good in the San Felipe Stakes, and trainer Brendan Walsh talks about his undefeated colt Maxfield in the Santa Ana Anita Handicap. Former NFL quarterback Sean King previews the Tampa Bay Derby, and South Point Sportsbook Director Chris Andrews handicaps these races, plus the Gotham Stakes in New York. The Ron Flatter Racing Pod is available now on VSiN.com/podcast and wherever you get your podcast. It's sponsored by First Bet. Speaking of Chris Andrews, he joins us by phone right now. Chris, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
My pleasure, my friend. Yeah, I'm doing fine today. Thanks.
Chris, Wes Reynolds here. Big college basketball day. It seems like everything's on the board here. What have you seen the most action on so far today?
Well, so far, let's just look at the early games. We had a lot of money on Florida State. We had money on Rutgers, which I certainly understand. I think that's going to be a tough out come the tournament. A little bit on Kentucky, and then further on down the road, well, we got money on Georgia. That kind of surprised me a little bit because I heard people talking that Bama could be playing for a number one seed, depending on what happens in the Big Ten with the remaining games. Because right now I have Illinois, the fourth number one seed. But, you know, I mean, they got a tough game today. You know, these guys could just be knocking one another off and could open the door for somebody to step in as the fourth number one seed. And I think it could be Alabama. We'll see. But money showed on Georgia today.
Speaking of Illinois, who you mentioned playing for that fourth number one seed, they're playing against a team that we thought maybe a week and a half ago was going to be fighting for that, and that being the Ohio State Buckeyes. Seeing the Buckeyes pretty much two across the market, evenly split here, or are folks kind of following the lead here, thinking, okay, Illinois is playing for potential number one and going with the small underdog?
Well, right now, that's really a well-bet game. And I'm looking, my ticket count is almost dead even. Money a little bit favoring Illinois. But, yeah, we're at two with you know, some pretty good action both ways. Hopefully we won't have to move that number. And I'm looking forward to that one. That's definitely one of the highlights of the day today.
Chris, also expanding on the busy day here is we do have a big UFC card, UFC 259 over here at the Apex in Las Vegas. Three title fights on this 15-bout card. Main event, Jan Blachowicz defending his light heavyweight title against Israel Adesanya, who is the middleweight champion of the world. Moving up to 205 to fight him, I think Adesanya in the weigh-ins only 200, so very much under the 205 weight limit. What are you seeing here? Blachowicz packs a lot of power. But Adesanya was kind of the fighter of the year in 2020.
Yeah, I think Adesanya like 200 and a half or something like that. So he came in a tiny bit light. You know, money wise, again, straight bets almost dead even. A lot of parlays on Adesanya. But really, I mean, what are we, 9:30 in the morning? So we're probably about 12 hours from post time, something like that. A lot of money already on that fight. And, the one before that, Amanda Nunes, people have been Megan Anderson. So I got, not too often I get to root for Amanda, but I'm definitely rooting for her tonight because they got some pretty big plus money going for them, on Megan Anderson.
Yeah, definitely taking shots at the underdogs, and that's what you'll see in UFC. You will see, because we've seen the upsets, we've seen Ronda Rousey get beat, we've seen George St. Pierre get beat as big favorite. So taking a shot with the tall Aussie. What about the Aljamain Sterling-Petr Yan fight? That for the bantamweight title. Pretty even straddle. I think here at the South Point, you guys are at minus 120 on the champ, even money on the underdog.
Let me find. Oh, yeah, there we go. Yeah, pretty evenly bet so far. I mean, we're about a couple hundred bucks off. That's it. But, we're really dead even. That's also garnered quite a bit of action. And like I said, you really have some good fights tonight. You know, I have to admit, I'm not the biggest UFC fan, but I do follow some of the big ones, and actually I follow it, you know, as a bookmaker. And I think with those three fights you mentioned, we are going to have a pretty big night. I told my wife tonight, I said, don't expect me home for dinner. I think I might wind up being here kind of late. So, and you know, these things never go off on time, you know. So I think they got the one fight listed at 8:50. I'd like to bet it's more like 9:30. So, you know.
You're absolutely right, Chris. As always, we appreciate the time. If you haven't read his book yet, check it out. Author of Then One Day, South Point Sportsbook Director Chris Andrews. Thank you so much for the time. Enjoy your weekend, Chris.
Always a pleasure, my friends. Have a good day, you guys.
Thanks, Chris.
When we come back, we'll get into some more college basketball. Give you an update on what's going on in South Bend between Florida State and Notre Dame. That's next on the Pregame Show. As a bettor, you know this week is a great time to find value on every team, game, and conference tournament on the schedule. Our experts are working 24/7 from now through Selection Sunday to find the daily sleepers, underdogs, and future Cinderellas. VSiN subscribers will receive our upcoming bracket betting guide with insights from Josh Applebaum, Matt Humans, and all of your VSiN experts, plus access to our live VSiN Selection Sunday coverage starting live at 6 Eastern for instant line analysis to get ahead of the markets and complete betting matchup data and game previews on VSiN.com. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to start your free trial today. Wes, I know this game you're paying attention to very closely, and it continues to trend in your direction. You've got Notre Dame first half in game, catching 7 for the game. The first half looks like they're in very good shape right now. Notre Dame leading at the Joy Center, 33-18 in the first half with 6:55 to go.
Yeah, Florida State, I believe, 0-for-8 from three-point range so far, and Notre Dame absolutely hitting theirs right now. Shooting percentages, Notre Dame have already hit 6 threes. Florida State currently 0-for-8, so there's your difference in the ball game as Florida State trying to play to clinch that number one seed in the ACC tournament. If they don't get it done here, that'll be up to Virginia, who we mentioned earlier plays at Louisville. Small favorite on the road is Virginia.
Yeah, this would be just a really bad loss if you're Florida State. Not that Notre Dame's a bad basketball team. They, you know what? They're way better than their record. They compete in a lot of games. But to me, when you're Florida State and you're playing for an ACC title, these are the types of games that Virginia, Carolina, and Duke over the years have won consistently. And that's what allowed them to win ACC crowns. And this is the type of game right now facing a 17-point deficit. I'm just not sure if they're going to be able to climb this mountain. It's getting a little bit out of hand now.
Yeah, you Florida State is that team when they get off the bus, you're like, how the heck does anybody beat these guys?
Exactly.
I mean, it's like they should run roughshod. But struggling here early, going to the line, though, under 6 minutes ago, Notre Dame 35-18 over Florida State. Notre Dame now a 7.5-point favorite in game at BetMGM, 157.5.
Similar scoreline right now in stores as UConn just scored to actually get off the same scoreline we had at Notre Dame between Florida State and Notre Dame. Right now, UConn leading 37-18 against Georgetown. I'll tell you what, I'm not sure they're going to get rid of Patrick Ewing this year, but this program has really gone downhill south very quickly. And James Akinjo, their best player, transfers to Arizona. He's had a terrific season for the Wildcats. What do you make of this Georgetown team moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, just very erratic they've been this year. In certain spots, they sneak up on teams. I had them the other night against Xavier. It was more of a play against Xavier, who was off that big win over Creighton, where they celebrated like they knew they were in the NCAA tournament. But UConn, I want to focus on them on the other side here. Now, all of a sudden, they're the team in the Big East everybody's paying attention to, because Villanova, of course, Colin Gillespie, going to be out for the rest of the year with that knee injury. And then you have a little bit of controversy at Creighton with some of Greg McDermott, the head coach's comments and into the locker room and having to deal with that. Creighton's lost two in a row. All of a sudden, UConn's gotten James Bouknight bad, and they've been red hot. So they're the team I think everybody is pointing to in the Garden for the Big East tournament next week.
I'm glad you brought that up, because when you look at Villanova, we're going to find out what they do today. We'll get into that game in just a minute on the road in Providence. But to me, you look at this Connecticut team. They play defense. They're going to really present some challenges, and getting Bouknight back is a huge difference. If you're not familiar with James Bouknight, he was out with an elbow injury for probably about 4 or 5 weeks, and then he comes back into the lineup, and this team just continues to flourish and trend upwards. And this is a team that'll play defense, and that's the difference. We know Villanova's going to play defense, but when you get probably the best individual talent in the league back, I mean, to me, Bouknight's the best player in the Big East.
Yeah, absolutely, and they're going for four in a row here. Started that winning streak back on February 23rd at Georgetown, and then beat Marquette, won at Seton Hall as a road favorite, which I thought was an impressive win considering Seton Hall. I know they're a little bit down, but still fighting for a spot on the bubble right now. And UConn to go in as a road favorite and beat Seton Hall. This is a very good team, and I don't know if they're going to be the betting favorite necessarily for the Big East, but their price has certainly been shortened with the Gillespie injury at Villanova.
Yeah, it's going to make a big difference losing a player of his caliber. You know, he had the fourth most points per post-up in college basketball. Think about that for a second. You're talking about usually it's big guys that get you the most points. He's a 6'3" guard. When he posts him, they post him up. He's tremendously effective, so we'll pay attention to that. Let's get into that game today. Villanova on the road at Providence, laying about 4, 4.5 in this one here, Wes. No surprise by the line, but I expect to see a competitive game. Providence generally plays Villanova pretty tough, and without Gillespie, I think this could be a competitive game. Watson and Duke are going to have to play well for PC if they're going to win this one.
Yeah, and Providence, I think right now, definitely on the outside looking in for the NCAA tournament. So, you know, we shall see. They are 12-12 now. If they could put together a hot run and win this game and a couple games in New York in Madison Square Garden, then maybe all of a sudden it's a different story. Providence does have some quality wins, but I wonder for Villanova if this is kind of that rally around the fallen hero type of thing with Colin Gillespie. Look, long-term, and Matt Eumanns and I were talking about that the other day here on VSiN, it's obviously not good for Villanova without a point guard and a guy that's been in your program so long like Gillespie. But in a one-game scenario, can they kind of rally here at this standpoint? Providence did lose by 15 in Philadelphia against Villanova earlier this season. Number looks about right to me, though.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I think this number is right where it should be. I want to go to a game in the Big East that I like today. It features Seton Hall taking on St. John. St. John's going to be without Posh Alexander, their point guard, second leading scorer, Wes. I think that's a big blow. But I still think this Johnny's team is dangerous. I like the way they play. They're going to compete for all 40 minutes. They were down double digits against PC. They come back and they win that game comfortably. This Seton Hall team, has really struggled throughout the course of the year. You referenced that UConn game at home. That's a game normally you'd say, hey, I'm getting a pick'em price here. I would take Seton Hall all day. Now this line has Seton Hall as a 2-point favorite going into Carnesecca Arena.
Yeah, and big game for both teams. Both of these teams desperately, I think, need a win down the stretch to bolster their NCAA tournament at-large case. Certainly, Seton Hall losing three straight, definitely going the wrong way here. I know selection committee says, okay, body of work here, but I do think that matters. We have seen a flip of favorites, though, I think largely due to the Alexander injury. This is essentially a coin flip pick'em game to me.
Yeah, I'm just going to give the edge to the team being at home here. I think this is a team that can do more damage in terms of St. John's. I don't think people have given them enough credit for how competitive they've been all year long. I want to quickly take you through some scores right now. It's Notre Dame in front of Florida State, 39-22. They're approaching the under four with 3:50 to go there. It is Kentucky at Rupp leading South Carolina, 32-28 with 3 minutes to go in the first half there. Kentucky was laying 8 in this one. Rutgers now in front of Minnesota at the Barn, 22-19, 7 minutes to go in the first half, and it is UConn all over Georgetown, 42-20 in this one right now in the first half, as they're at the under four media timeout, Wes.
UConn continues their hot play going forward. A very impressive start over Georgetown, 9.5-point favorite, easily ahead of that number.
Yeah, they've really been dominant in this one. When we come back, we'll get into some, any Wes have any prop bets on the All-Star weekend? Also, if he's got any NHL games he likes, and also the A-10, does he like anybody there? That's next on the pregame show. Download the free Odds Trader app right now. Start winning with up to the second information you need. Wes, want to hit on a few more games we didn't touch upon earlier, and then we'll get back also into some of the key matchups for today. Let's start in the SEC between Mississippi State at Auburn. This team is completely different without Sharif Cooper in the lineup. Mississippi State got the road win at A&M earlier this week. Now they go down to the Plains trying to get a win here. Short number here, as Auburn is about a 2-point favorite or 1-point favorite, depending on where you get the line.
And by the way, Sharif Cooper not dressed for the game, pure perusing on Twitter. So farewell to Sharif Cooper. I don't know if he's going to be a one and done or not, but they certainly were a lot better with him. And you actually saw Auburn, a very young Auburn team, look like a real team. But now he's out. Would lean a little bit to the under here. That's just the way Mississippi State plays. Mississippi State is totally zig when everybody else is zagging. Everybody else is spacing the floor, shooting a bunch of threes. And Mississippi State plays old school ball with their size. They like to score in the post. They don't take a lot of threes, a lot of 2 points, you know, get to the rim, play some bully ball. So kind of like the under here, and it's getting bet, I think, a little bit accordingly with Cooper not being able to go.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a struggle for Auburn offensively. I love the way Mississippi State plays defense, but my problem with them offensively is you've got two guys and three guys standing around. It's Stuart and Molinar, and everybody watches them, and then they try and get an offensive rebound, and that's how they get their points. It's just incredibly frustrating at times, the lack of just basically competitiveness that you see from the offense. It's just so stagnant at times for Mississippi State. So Want to go to the A-10 today. Matchup between Davidson and VCU. Revenge spot here for VCU. Davidson got them a couple of weeks ago. They beat them. Now VCU in Richmond. Now remember, this game is going to be played at the Spiders' home. This will not be played on VCU's home floor. So VCU, the one-point favorite in this matchup.
Yeah, and VCU, they actually got out to a huge lead against Dayton yesterday. Dayton held on. Dayton was trying to get back within that number. Fell a point short as VCU did get the 5-point win. Look, they did get Highland did play yesterday, so that was obviously good for the VCU Rams, but only laying one to Davidson. I kind of lean with Bob McKillop's bunch. Bob McKillop runs really good motion offense. They run a lot of stuff off the ball. You know, every time we watch college basketball teams do screen, it's like America's play. It's the high ball screen up top. I was like, does anybody run screens on the baseline or off the ball? Well, Davidson does, and they're going to be a tougher team to defend. I think maybe this is a team that's kind of found itself at the right time because they, like many teams, have had various COVID pauses. And VCU just laying one. I know no spectators, but it is on your home floor. I like Davidson here to actually get the season sweep over VCU. They did beat them in the finale down in North Carolina. I think they get it done on the road, too.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. The one problem when you look at VCU, aside from Highlands, they don't shoot the ball consistently well. And that's the problem when you play a team like Davidson. Kellen Grady, again, having a very good year for the Davidson Wildcats. I think it's going to be tough in this game. Total of only 133, and I think this game will be played at Davidson's pace, which is going to be a little bit slower, so something to pay attention to.
And this
to.
Is not a Davidson team that turns the ball over very much, and VCU, I think a lot of their success offensively is predicated on forcing turnovers.
Absolutely right. That's what they want to do. They want to force up that Havoc style. They did it against Dayton yesterday. And matchup between in the other A-10 semifinals is going to involve St. Louis, who takes on the number one seed in that league, St. Bonaventure. St. Louis, the 2-point favorite in this one. They were a 3-point favorite when they played in St. Louis earlier this year, and it was all Billikens in that one. How do you see this one, Wes?
Yeah, and I think probably there are going to be two teams out of this league, and these are the two teams I think may end up getting the bid, although Davidson and VCU certainly can upset the apple cart, but they're at least getting two, maybe three. St. Louis, I think, was the team that we thought was going to be the best team all year, and then they had about a month off from December to the end of January due to COVID-19. Really got them out of rhythm, and but now I kind of think that they're going a little bit. St. Louis, couple nice wins at home over Richmond and UMass, and then drilled UMass yesterday in the second round of the tournament. So I actually do like them against the Bonnies here as the small favorite, but this is probably one of the best games of the day because I think you have two teams. These two teams, just based on what I've watched, I think should be in the tournament. I don't know how many quad one wins they have or what their net ranking is, but just watching them, I think both of these two should absolutely be in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I love how they always break down which teams are on the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, whoever breaks down who's going to finish 40th in the Miss America pageant.
Right.
So why are we worried about these teams that are not really good enough? They're not going to make a deep run in March.
Right.
We're so worried about the Syracuse and the Indianas of the mm-hmm. world. Give me mm-hmm. a break. You all have opportunities. You play in power leagues. If you can't do it, don't worry about it. The problem to me are these smaller teams who deserve to get in from the Valley and other mm-hmm. leagues. And mm-hmm. they got to go undefeated during the regular season. They've got to win their one game when they play at Kentucky like Richmond did. It puts so much pressure on them.
Yeah, and I know that's what the media focuses on is who's going to get in the tournament. One of the things they don't focus on enough is the seeding because yeah. we'll talk to all the bookmakers out here after the bracket is revealed next Sunday. And it's be like, oh, this seeding is way wrong. You got a team as a 4 seed that should be a 7 seed. So, you know, that's what I think the committee gets wrong more often than not than who's in and who's out.
You know, maybe, but again, it's personal preference, personal opinion, because I will tell you one thing, with all due respect to the bookmakers, I don't think they're poring over as much data as these guys are throughout the course of the season in terms of preparing these teams. Because I can tell you this much, there's probably not too many people out here that have watched the Metro Atlantic as much as I have, mm-hmm. and when you sit there and you put some of these spreads on St. Peter's, you've never seen their offense play a game.
Right.
It's just a joke to me sometimes.
Right, absolutely. Update for an injury update. Race Thompson for Indiana is warming up. So that game's going to go at 11 Pacific. Purdue about a 7, 6.5 point favorite.
You mentioned Race Thompson for Indiana playing against Purdue today. I wish he was on a better team. Mm-hmm. To me, he is the best glue guy possibly in college basketball. Yeah. He does everything you need him to do in order to be effective and win ball games. You need to go rebound, he'll go do that. You need him to defend somebody, he'll go do it. He just does a terrific job. It's just a lack of consistency on the perimeter for this team has hurt them, because if you're an Indiana team, you should be able to play inside out with TJD and then be able to have so many good lookouts and free kicks for three-point shots.
Yeah, it's like I wish he played on a team that had a guard that could make a shot, and Indiana has not been able to do that with much regularity this year.
It's unbelievable how inconsistent this Hoosier team has been. Wes, want to hit on one more game. I know you have an interest in the Valley today, Missouri State and Drake. This should be a pretty intriguing matchup. This is a Drake team that shoots the ball particularly well. Now in this one, they've got an opportunity to get to the conference finals here and potentially face Indiana State or Loyola.
Yeah, and this is an interesting spot for Drake. By the way, Drake essentially got a bye yesterday because Northern Iowa had some COVID issues. All of a sudden, that game in St. Louis was delayed yesterday, and it's like, okay, what is going on here? Because I kind of thought Northern Iowa, even though they've been bad this year ever since A.J. Green went out three games in the season, who is the reigning Valley Player of the Year. So I thought, okay, maybe Northern Iowa is going to be like, okay, we've got another season now. We can put that behind us. This is a brand new season here in the Valley Tournament. They don't get to play because of COVID issues, so Drake moves on, whereas Missouri State did have to play yesterday. On the surface, you would think that that would be a disadvantage to a team that that played yesterday versus the rested team. But, you know, it's that old rest versus rust discussion, I think, here. And I actually think that there might be more rust with Drake than there is rest. Missouri State has advanced to the semifinals this year. They were kind of one of those teams. You look at them, 17-6 this year, Missouri State did get swept by Drake and did get swept by Loyola. Yeah. So this is the clear number three team in the Missouri Valley. Missouri State did get a win over Valpo last night, 66-55, got the cover. I actually do like Missouri State here in this spot. I think Drake probably is in the NCAA tournament as an at-large, but keep in mind for Drake now, they are down two starters from their max of when they were winning all these games in a row and when they started out 18-0 and then 20-2. They, of course, do not have Shaquan Hemphill, but also Roman Penn. Their point guard is now out for the season. So this is a much different team, and you saw them when they split with Bradley last weekend. I think this is a spot where Missouri State has lost two to this team. They feel like they can get Drake here. I like Missouri State plus two.
Yeah, I tell you, without Roman Penn, it makes a huge difference in terms of what this team's able to do offensively. He's the catalyst. He makes them go. I'm with you on this one. I like Missouri State. The Bears have a great opportunity here, and who knows? They can knock off potentially Loyola, because in that other matchup, you have Indiana State. The Sycamores taking on Loyola here. Loyola, 11-point favorite. Remember, they split the season series, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. I think Loyola got upset by Indiana State. Second time around, Loyola wins by 10. Now they're an 11-point favorite in this matchup, Wes. This is a game where I think you're going to see this be a defensive game, total of 121. I actually like this game under 121, or more of a first-half underplay, because one thing that scares me when you get into these games, you wind up with 15, 20 points in the final 2 minutes because of fouls.
And you also do have a motivated team. It's not being reflected in the market. I think Loyola's in the tournament, whether they win or lose the Valley championship or not here in St. Louis. And they're getting bet accordingly. I'm seeing 11.5 in the market. Indiana State looks like they're going to be parting ways with Greg Lansing, which I think is an absolute mistake. I think he's done a nice job there in Terre Haute. And I think you've got the kids playing hard for him. They got off to a slow start, but close strong against Evansville in a very typical low-scoring Valley tournament game. I think it was 53-43. So I'd be with you on the under, and maybe a little value in the first half, especially on Indiana State.
Any particular game today that you have your eye on? We've got about a minute left. That's either your favorite betting game or a game you're looking forward to watching.
Yeah, I don't really have favorite betting games per se, but I did mention the Valley Tournament and also the A-10 Tournament. I think some very good games there. Morehead State and Belmont, the two best teams, I think, in the Ohio Valley this year.
Great game last night.
Should be very good. Both those games were really good last night in the Valley. A lot of close games there in Evansville. Belmont, 6.5 on Morehead State. Preston Spradlin's guys have been really the hot team of late. So number looks about right. But just from a watching standpoint, I'm eager to see who's going to be the first team to punch their ticket into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, by the way, who is North Alabama facing off against today? I forgot who's the automatic qualifier there in the Ace Sun. Drawn a blank on that.
I believe it's Liberty.
Liberty. Liberty's in. They get in because, remember, North Alabama,
first year
Division
I,
they're not eligible there. So that's going to do it for us on the pregame show. Betting Across America is next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.